السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can I just have a sound check? Can you hear me clearly?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Yeah, we can hear you. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Okay, should we start?
Yeah, I think we can start now. There'll probably be a few more people coming because we have it in the class today.
All right, so the class is not set up yet.
No, the class is set up, but people are probably going to come late. But I think if we start, and they'll just trickle in.
Oh, okay. Okay, inshallah. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha 'an arimid dhunub wa matara'atan liwaswasil khannasil makdhub wa salatu wa salamu 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin ad-da'i ila kulli fi'lin mahbub wa amrin matlub. وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل فدعنا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our 10th session on Ikhlas, where we are studying the subjects surrounding intention, sincerity, verbal habits, with reflections on Imam Ghazali's Ihya. Now, in the verse I've read to you just now, they are the last two verses of Surah Al-Kahf. The first verse draws our attention to the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the unimaginable extent of his knowledge. Human knowledge in comparison there is no comparison with Allah's knowledge, but human knowledge can be captured and recorded because it is limited. It is very limited, it's minuscule. And if the oceans were ink and all the trees were pens, it could not capture the words of Allah. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. He knows all things, including the secrets of the hearts. He knows where the heart is focused and with whom it is occupied. And so the instruction to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the second verse is to say that whoever hopes in meeting his Lord, then they should not include others in their worship of Allah. So the translation of the verse is, if the sea were ink and the writing for writing and the words of my Lord and the sea if the sea were ink for writing the words of my Lord, and the sea would be exhausted before the words of my Lord were exhausted, even if we brought the like of it, even if you brought a similar amount and supplement it. That's the translation. And then the second verse was, I am only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to people that, look, I'm only a man like you to whom Allah has revealed. I receive revelation from God. And so whoever hopes in meeting Allah, in meeting their Lord, then let him do righteous good or righteous work and not associate anyone with worship of Allah, worship of his Lord. Now, the first thought that comes to mind when we read about meeting is that of the meeting on the Day of Judgment, because that's the meeting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grand meeting where we will meet Allah, and it will be on the Day of Judgment, which is what it is clear from the verse, the first meaning that comes out of it. But there, there's another conception of meaning of meeting here in this verse, and that is in the light of a hadith, a sahih hadith, where um, the sabab al-nuzul, the context in which the verse was revealed, is usually explained. If you look at the tafsir, you'll find this verse, this hadith mentioned. And it's instructive, it's good for our discussion here to ponder this, in which a man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, Inni aqiful mawaqif, uridu wajh Allah, that I stand in seeking the pleasure of Allah. I stop and stand, I stand in places, I'm seeking the pleasure of Allah. Wa uhibbu an yara mawtini, and I love that he should see me in my place where I am standing. You know, I want him to see me. This person is saying this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he does not reply. Lam yarid, falam yarid, falam yarid alayhi, falam yarid alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not respond to him, and hatta nazalat hadi al-aya. And then the response came in this verse. This verse, which says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. So whoever hopes in a meeting with their Lord, so let them do righteous deeds and not associate anyone else in his worship of Allah. So from this, what we can see is that whenever an act of worship is conducted with the heart focused on Allah alone, without the urge to show it to others, then that is technically, according to this interpretation, a liqa, it's like a meeting. It's a blessing of a meeting with your Lord. It is ihsan. It is ka'annaka tarah, as in the hadith we read of Jibreel alayhi salam. Worship Allah as if you see him, for verily if you see him not, then he sees you. So whenever we are given the tawfiq for a good deed or for good action, for doing things for the pleasure of Allah with full sincerity, then we must be completely certain in our hearts. We should have it in our hearts that not only is Allah seeing us, but this is a special moment, a moment between you and Allah, a blessed moment when Allah is most likely to be pleased with you and accept your deed. And therefore, we must have that yaqeen, that certainty in the heart of this being special, this moment being special. It's a moment when Allah is watching us. Allahu ma'i, that Allah is with me. That sense of presence that, look, Allah is seeing me. Allah is watching me. Allahu ma'i. Allah, Allahu nadirun ilayya. Allah is looking at me. Allahu shahidi. Allah is witnessing what I do. This is exactly what the goal of ihsan is. When we do this, then we'll be able to cherish these moments and create a sense of high value in our hearts for each moment, for each of these moments we have, where there is sincerity and there's recognition that Allah is focused, Allah is seeing us, and our heart is focused on Allah alone. We need to cherish these moments and create a sense of high value in our heart for them, because they are, in the eyes of Allah, moments which you should value. To reinforce this in our hearts. And in order to help us to do this, I've got the meanings of three hadiths that I'd like you to keep salient in your minds. The first hadith is where, and it is to remember not to trivialize your sincere actions. However little, however insignificant it might seem to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abi Dharr, he said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق أو بوجه طليق. It's two riwaya. He said that you should not belittle any good deed, even if it is just a smile on your face, that meeting, that pleasant face that you have when you meet your brother, or where a sister meets a sister, or when you meet another Muslim, and that is a good deed. You should not belittle even that. So in other words, is to cherish and value these gifts of sincere deeds that Allah has given you. Not in pride that I'm doing it, but to value it with gratitude. With gratitude to Allah for the affordance and the opportunity, the affordance of this opportunity that you have. So, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not belittle any good deed. Give it value. That's the first. The second hadith is to regarding the fact that our success in the akhirah can hinge on just one sincere moment. All it may take is just one moment to say a word. And this is the second hadith, is that in the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna ar-rajula, that inna ar-rajula yatakallama, inna ar-rajula la yatakallamu bi kalimatin min ridwanillahi ta'ala ma kana yadhunnu an tablugha ma balagat. That a person may speak, may utter a word, one utterance of a word, and that word is pleasing to Allah. That moment, that one word that he says is pleasing to Allah. وَمَا كَانَ يَظُنُّ أَن تَبْلُغَ مَا بَلَغَتْ. And he has no idea. He couldn't imagine that this word, that one word, that one utterance would reach to such level that Allah, يَكْتُبُ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا رِضْوَانَهُ إِلَى يَوْمٍ يَلْقَى. That Allah will write for that person from then on pleasure. His plea, that Allah will be pleased with him for his life forever from then on. Everything he does, all Allah will guide him through his life, that he will remain on the straight path, and that he will do things that will bring the pleasure of Allah until the day he meets him. In other words, when you meet him, Allah will be pleased with you. And conversely, the hadith continues, wa inna ar-rajula la yatakallamu bil kalima min sakhati Allah, that a person may say something that angers Allah. وَمَا كَانَ يَظُنُّ أَن تَبْلُغَ مَا بَلَغَتْ. And he will not imagine that it will reach to such a high level. He will think it's something, just brush it off his shoulder, it's nothing, it's like a fly landing on the shoulder. He will think that it's nothing. But then Allah will write for him سَخَتَهُ, that is anger for him until the day, until يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. So the point here is that the moment of utterance of one word can make or break your future, your salvation. So to give value to the moments you have, these moments, these good moments. And the third is a confirmation of the extraordinary value there is in these special moments. This is an example of that. And when we have these special moments with Allah alone in our hearts, and this is a hadith about which you have heard, but perhaps in this context, not related in this context, but it's a hadith that on the day of judgment, سَبْعَةٌ قَالَ الرَّسُولُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ سَبْعَةٌ يُضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ لَا ضِلَّ إِلَّا ضِلُّ. That there are seven people who will be put in the shade of Allah on the day of judgment. And of them, one of them, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. That a person, one of the seven who will be in the shade is a person who remembers Allah, and in another riwayah, ذكر الله خاليا, that he remembers Allah on his own, and he remembers Allah, and his eyes then flooded with tears. There are millions of reasons for your eyes to flood with tears when we remember Allah. It could be tears of shame over our neglect or shortcomings, or also tears of joy over the countless mercies and favors that Allah pours continuously in our direction. Now, here the reference is about a moment. It's about that moment that person had. He had a moment, and that moment was that he remembered Allah and his eyes flooded with tears. So moments are important to value. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such moments repeatedly. Now, last week, we reflected on Allah's attention and care in sustaining all his creation, from the largest galaxies to the microscopic creatures. He sustains all at the same time with the full attention to all the detail and needs of everyone. He fulfills the need of the galaxies, the stars, the moon, the planets, and he fulfills the needs of also the tiny microbes, the microscopic creatures that he has created. And we pondered this because Shaitan sometimes comes and put it in our heart to say, look, well, you're microscopic, you're on this tiny planet that's a speck, it's nothing, there's nothing special about you. But if you go smaller than the human being, and you will find that Allah is paying attention to the needs of all his creatures, even the microscopic ones. Then we also looked at the fact that the hyper ostentatious nature of the culture in which we live and the consequences of that for our own psyche. We also began reading from the chapter of the treatment of the disease of Ria. Ria, of course, which is the to show something that is ostensibly for Allah. We are showing it. We're supposed to do ibadah, good deeds for Allah. But if you do it with the motive of to impress others, then that is falling prey of you're falling foul of the trap of shaitan. Now, we read the first part of the treatment, which I liken to a two-pronged approach in treating cancer. The first was the surgery that uproots you from the disease, uproots the disease from where the branches sprout. And that uprooting needs to be followed by an ongoing treatment, an ongoing care plan to deal with it. Now, in that, there were 8 salient points to keep in mind in the first stage of this treatment. And the first was the impulse to show is motivated by 3 main factors: love of praise, love of criticism, and covetousness, you know, wanting the stuff that other people have. The second was that we tend to be inclined towards things that are perceived to be beneficial and pleasurable, either immediately or eventually. Then the third was that it is easier for us to abstain from something when we know that with certainty that any pleasure that we may get from it is in the short term will be followed by long-term harm. And the example he gave for that was the example of sweet honey, that if you find out that if you were to find out that honey has poison in it, then the sweetness of the honey will not be enough to justify in your own mind to take the honey, because the long-term problem with it is such that you will avoid it. Now, the fourth thing was the point that you needed to keep in mind was that for the more one understands and keeps in mind the severity of the harm that Ria causes, the easier it is for you to avoid it. So when we show off our acts of worship, we are actually indulging in mockery, and that idea that you're mockering, that you're mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, did you not find anyone less insignificant than Allah to mock? Wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik. And then the fifth point to keep in mind was that on the day of judgment, you may happen to need just one good deed to tip your scale in the right direction, but that deed might be the one that happened to be corrupted by Ria. So when one deed can decide our future for eternity, we should value all our good deeds, and endeavor not to spoil any of them with Ria. Number 6 was if the people you're trying to impress with your piety or your good deeds that you're showing them, when you indulge in Ria, and if they were to find out, these same people, that you are actually insincere, then they would, instead of holding you in high status, would despise you. And certainly on the day of judgment, they will come to know the truth about your intention. And then the 7th point was, pleasing people is an unreachable goal. You will not be able to reach to satisfy people. And what happens is that you end up with scattered attention, with multiple concerns, which can lead, of course, into a depressive state. Whereas focusing on pleasing Allah alone is the opportunity to gather our attention in one direction where tranquility is found. That by gathering all your focus and attention just to please Allah, in that there is tranquility, there is peace. And point number 8 was that the heart focused on the next life will flourish with nur. If your heart is focused on the benefit of the next life, and you're able to avoid Ria, then you will get the benefit of nur, illumination in your heart. It will spread into your chest. Your chest will become expansive with light and lead to experiences of closeness with Allah and serenity. Now, in addition to these, in the first stage of the treatment also includes the practical medicine, which is dawa al-amali, where you're called to conceal your actions. لا دواء للرياء مثل الإخفاء. If you remember last week, we talked about that رياء is the cure. إخلاص is الإخلاص في معالجة الرياء. That إخلاص is in curing your رياء. If you cure your رياء, you will be left with إخلاص. And he's saying now that to cure رياء, you have to practice إخفاء. So we will come back to this. But what I want to draw your attention now to is to, because we're going into dealing with the ongoing aspect of the treatment, I want to speak a bit about the nature of thoughts in the human mind in general, because the dominant narrative about human beings, about the human mind and human being in general, in the culture in which we happen to live, is by and large a materialistic narrative. Everything that happens in the human mind is seen in this culture as a result of material processes. Either the material, the brain. The brain, neurons, firing, sensation, activation, etc. Now, bearing in mind that we said last week, what we said last week about the osmotic phenomena, the subtle cultural influences that surreptitiously invade and shapes a person's view of themselves. We need to understand, as Muslims, a bit more about how our mind works, and especially when Riya flourishes in it. As Muslims, we need to know that this strict materialistic narrative about the mind is incomplete, which I think we know, but it's internalizing that. And there's a whole host of other systems that brought to bear on the mind, including angels and shayateen. But we'll put that aside for a while and let's take a closer look at the materialistic narrative first. Now, if I were to ask you if you're in control of what goes in and out of your body, you will most likely say, yes, of course, I control. I have the right to decide, for example, what food I eat, what medication I take, and what drug is injected in my body. You can say sentences like, I refuse to get vaccinated. By the way, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but you can say that I do not allow myself to be vaccinated. And it would be highly unlikely for your utterance of the word vaccine or hearing the word vaccine to cause bits of the vaccine solution to enter into your bloodstream. That's not going to happen. However, that's not the same for the mind. The control we have over the material stuff entering into our system is not the same for mental properties. And this is the difference. Is that if you would say a sentence such as, I will not think about a baby elephant, what do you think happens? Try it. I will not think about a baby elephant. Say it to yourself and see what happens. What we find, you know, as cognitive scientists, you will see that you, by saying that I will not think of a baby elephant, you will automatically simulate the image of an elephant when saying that you will not think of an elephant. Even though the instruction is not to think about the elephant, the mind will create the image of an elephant. And with full details, this has it's not only creating the elephant. If you say that I will not think of a cuddly elephant, you will imagine a picture of an elephant with a curl up trunk, a baby elephant with a curl up trunk will appear. And if you say I will not think of a baby elephant chasing that chases chickens or something like that, you will see an elephant with a trunk in your mind. An elephant will appear with a straight trunk. So. And this sort of simulation, these images, have profound consequences for our ability to control the flow of our thoughts. Initially, this was psycholinguistic idea, but then it was further corroborated by a series of neuroscience experiments through the monitoring of reaction times, eye movement and hand movement and fMRI, etc. It's not only the images that we create, but our thoughts are filled with detailed simulations that include shape, orientation, location, and followed with full modeling of actions. So in other words, our minds automatically create detailed mental modeling using the same brain networks and systems as it does when we are actually experiencing those things for real, with different varying degree of intensity, but it's the same systems. And this has consequences. The consequences are for instance, our emotional state. These simulations tend to linger in the mind and activate emotional reactions. Now, if the simulation inspires a pleasurable emotion, then that can propagate into influencing a cascade of very specific behavior. As happens, you know, often people purchase branded items. They go on the shelves grabbing items and finding themselves choosing one product over another and rating it as higher and more valuable than others, and without being able to explain rationally why. And that is because of the simulations. There's a knock-on effect of each simulation. So if you are simulating in your mind that people are being impressed by your good deeds, you're simulating that, oh, that person really likes to hear about the good things I do, then that will start to activate a feeling of elation and delight, because it has consequences for your emotion. So you will feel elated, you'll feel a delight. And from the feeling of this elation, a cascade of motivation for specific behaviors will ensue. You'll be continuously propelled towards doing things that facilitate more of the good feeling behavior about people being impressed by your ibadah. Even at the back of your mind, even if you have this, you know that, oh, riya is not good. Knowing that wouldn't be enough. There is a need for an ongoing effort to deal with these mental simulations. Now, how do you interrupt this vicious cycle? Because it's a cycle. It starts off with you feeling the elation, the delight, and then because it's so powerful, it takes you. So you need a mechanism to deal with this, to protect yourself from falling into the trap of riya in an ongoing basis. And this is what this section of the book is about. Imam Ghazali here again, mashallah, is years ahead of his time in delineating the details of this process, and as you will see. So there is a small chapter, a couple of paragraphs from last week's that we didn't read. So I'm going to read that first and then move on. How are we doing for time? Yeah, okay. وَأَمَّا الدَّوَاءُ الْعَمَلِي As for the practical medicine, فَهُوَ يُعَوِّدْ نَفْسَهُ إِخْفَاءَ الْعِبَادَاتِ That is to, he must or she must habituate herself or himself about hiding, إِخْفَاء, to hide your good actions. وَإِغْلَاقُ الْبَابِ دُونَهَا كَمَا تُغْلَقُ الْأَبْوَابُ دُونَ الْفَوَاحِشِ And to hide your good deeds, to hide things that you do, just as you hide your bad deeds. When you sit at the computer at night, you don't want people to see the kind of things that you're looking at. You tilt your screen and you hide your phone. You don't want people to go through your phone and see the kind of things that you're looking at. That we hide stuff. So we can also hide our good deeds. And that's what this will train. Hatta you have to, and he's saying you'awwidu. Awwidu means to habituate yourself. That look, I'm going to hide my deeds. Now, of course, there are some deeds that you cannot hide, like Hajj, you have to show that. But it's about training yourself. And that is why you cannot hide Salah as well. You cannot hide your 5 daily Salah. You need to pray that in the masjid. But the night prayer is so good for this, for training yourself, for hiding it, that no one sees you. This is between you and Allah. And it is that moment. It is the moment you've been waiting for. It's the moment that you need. So when you have these moments, it is with you and Allah alone, then that is something to cherish. But it's also by habituating yourself with it, it helps. So he's saying, فَلَا دَوَاءَ لِلْرِيَاءِ مِثْلَ الْإِخْفَاءِ that there is no treatment for riya like hiding. وَذَلِكَ يَشُكُّ فِي بِدَايَةِ الْمُجَاهَدَةِ And that is difficult in the beginning. وَإِذَا صَبَرَ عَلَيْهِ مُدَّةً بِالتَّكَلُّفِ سَقَطَ عَنْهُ ثِقْلَهُ But if you bear it for a little while, then eventually it will start to get easy. وَهَانَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ بِالتَّوَاصِلِ أَلْطَافِ اللَّهِ وَمَا يَمُدُّ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ مِنْ حُسْنِ التَّوْفِيقِ وَالتَّأْيِيدِ And then it will become easy for him because Allah, subtle favors from Allah will pour onto him with tawfiq and motivation to do it and confirmation. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. But Allah will not change your condition until you attempt. You make the effort to change yourself. وَمِنَ الْعَبْدِ الْمُجَاهَدَةُ. And from the servant is the effort. وَمِنَ اللَّهِ الْهِدَايَةُ. And hidayah is from Allah. وَمِنَ الْعَبْدِ قَرْحُ الْبَابِ وَمِنَ اللَّهِ فَتْحُ الْبَابِ. That for the servant is, the slave has to knock the door, and it is up to Allah to open it. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah does not waste the reward of those who do good. وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا. And even if it's one good deed, Allah multiplies it. So you don't, even if you see, you think that it's little, Allah multiplies it. وَيُؤْتِي مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And he gives magnificent rewards from his own. Okay, now the second part. There's مَقَامُ الثَّانِي, which is فِي دَفْعِ الْعَارِضِ مِنْهُ فِي أَثْنَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. This is to repel, how to deal with the urges of riya while doing ibadat. What actually happens? And this is the ongoing process. وَذَلِكَ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَعَلُّمِهِ أَيْضًا. And you need to learn this as well. Just as we learn about uprooting, we also learn uprooting, in other words, all the bad things about it, all the serious consequences. We also need to learn here about dealing with it on an ongoing basis. فَإِنَّ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ. The one who struggles with himself, وَقَلَعَ مَغَارِسَ الرِّيَا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ بِالْقَنَاعَةِ وَقَطْعِ الطَّمْعِ وَإِسْقَاطِهِ. وَإِسْقَاطِ نَفْسِهِ مِنْ أَعْيُنِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. The one who struggles and becomes contented with removing riya from his heart, with uprooting it, and severs the search, the lurch for it, and removes himself from wanting station among people. وَإِسْتِحْقَارِ مَرْحِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَدَمِّهِمْ. And who has now, is able to understand, he knows now, that people's criticism or people's praise is of no value for me. فَالشَّيْطَانُ لَا يَتُكُهُ فِي أَثْنَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. Shaitan, if you know this, don't expect that Shaitan now, because you know this, will leave you alone. No. فَلَا يَتُرُكُهُ. فَالشَّيْطَانُ لَا يَتُرُكُهُ فِي أَثْنَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. He will not leave you alone during your ibadah, when you're doing good deeds. بَلْ يُعَارِضُهُ بِخَطَرَاتِ الْقِيَاةِ. That he will continue to put thoughts, he will continue to instill thoughts of riya in you. وَلَا تَنْقَطِعَ عَنْهُ نَظَرَاتِهِ. And his suggestions will not ever stop. وَهَوَى النَّفْسُ وَمَيْلُهَا لَا يَنْمَحِي. وَهَوَى النَّفْسُ. And the urges of the nafs, the urges of the and the inclinations of the desire, well, also is not erased completely. فَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَتَشَمَّرَ لِدَفْعِ مَا يُعْرَضُ مِنْ خَاطِرِ الرِّيَا. So it is therefore important that a person becomes serious in repelling what appears in his heart of riya. وَخَوَاتِرُ الرِّيَا ثَلَاثَةٌ. The thoughts of riya are three. And this is where we come back to the idea of monitoring thoughts. Because remember what I said about thoughts, they have cascading effect. So he said, وَقَدْ تَخْتَرُ دَفْعَةً وَاحِدًا كَالْخَاطِرِ خَاطِرِ الْوَاحِدِ وَقَدْ تَتَرَادَفْ عَلَى الدَّرَجَاتِ. That they might come, that they have three. There are three main thoughts that flow for riyan. They may come all at once, or they may come in succession over a period of time. And the first thought that comes to the mind, the first thought is al-ilm. Is al-ilmu bi-ittila'i al-khalqi وَرَجَاءُ اِتِّلَاعِهِمْ. That the first thought that comes is the knowledge that people are finding out what you are doing, and the hope that they will find out. Either the hope that they will find out, or that's the first thought that comes. Okay, well, people are finding out what I'm doing, and people are recognizing, people are noticing my posts, people are checking up on me. You know, I'm getting a lot of feedback, and people are starting to visit my page. Sometimes people don't even say anything, but you get a message saying, oh, well, so you're being noticed. You're being noticed. So this is the one. That knowledge of being known, of being noticed, that is the first one. ثُمَّ يَتْلُوهُ هَيَجَانِ الرَّغْبَةِ. And then that knowledge, that bit of information that you've gotten, provokes an inclination in the nafs, in deep inside, في حمدهم وحصول المنزلة عندهم. So the cascade goes from there. So the simulation starts with, oh, people know. Oh, so what are they saying? And the mind starts to simulate now. Oh, maybe they should be saying something good. And it's an expectation starts to rise in the mind, but it's not only rising in the mind, because you're carrying these full simulations in the mind that are then provoking all sorts of emotional reaction as well. So it's وَالرَّغْبَةُ مِن نَفْسِ فِي حَمْدِهِمْ وَحُصُولِ الْمَنْزِلَةِ ثُمَّ يَطْلُوهُ قُبُولَ النَّفْسِ قُبُولَ النَّفْسِ لَهُ وَالرُّكُونُ إِلَيْهَا. And then the nafs accepts it. Then eventually it comes on board. It takes over. It starts to rule now. وَعَقْدِ الضَّمِيرَ عَلَى تَحْقِقِهِ. And then a decision is formed in the mind to make that reality. That simulation that you had was not confirmed, but a decision in the mind then comes to confirm it. So that's the cascade. That's how you move. So the first is ma'rifa, which is the knowing, which is that bit of information that, oh, people are noticing me. والثاني حالة تسمى الشهوة والرغبة. And the third is that this desire, the ragba, the inclination that builds up in the heart. And the third, والثالث فعل يسمى العزم وضمير وتصميم العقد. And that is a binding decision, a determination in the heart, a resolution. You've entered into the stage, resolution that, look, I'm going to make this come true. I'm going to make this come, this simulation that I've just had, that people are saying things, nice things about what I did, I'm going to make sure that this happens. And that's the azm. It's tasmim al-aqd. It is determination and resolution to make it come through. وَإِنَّمَا كَمَالُ الْقُوَّةِ فِي دَفْعِ الْخَاطِرِ الْأَوَّلِ. And so the strongest you will be in dealing with this is in dealing with the first thought as the cascade begins, before the cascade sets off at the beginning. You say, إِنَّمَا كَمَالُ, and he's saying that the كَمَالُ الْقُوَّةِ فِي دَفْعِ الْخَاطِرِ الْأَوَّلِ وَرَدِّهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَطْلُوهَ الثَّانِي. قَبْلَ أَن يَطْلُوهَ الثَّانِي. That to deal with the first thought before the second one comes in, before it moves into the second stage. فَإِذَا خَطَرَ لَهُ مَعْرِفَةِ اِطِّلَاعِ الْخَلْقِ أَوْ رَجَاعُ اِطِّلَاعِهِمْ. So if in some thought comes in his mind that people are noticed what I've done, or a hope that they may notice what I've done, then he has to دَفَعَ ذَلِكَ بِأَنْقَالِ. Then he has to repel that. You have to repel that straight away and say, مَالَكَ وَالْخَلْقَ مَالَكَ وَلِلْخَلْقَ. That what does it have? What do you have to do? What does people have to do with you? مَالَكَ وَلِلْخَلْقَ. What does people have to do with you? عَلِمُوا أَن لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا وَاللَّهُ عَالِمٌ بِحَالِكَ. That whether they know or they don't know, Allah knows. Allah knows your situation. Allah knows what you did. So it matters not whether people know or don't know. So this is how you capture, you arrest it in the beginning, in the first stage. فَأَيُّ فَائِدَةٍ فِي عِلْمِ غَيْرِهِ. What benefit is there for anyone else to know? So that's the first. You will be the strongest you will be in dealing with it at the beginning, before the simulation starts to cascade. فإن هاجت الرغبة إلى لذة الحمد. But if it then moves into the inclination into enjoying the praise, because the simulation moved on and you have simulated now the praise, not only their knowledge of it, but the praise. وتذكر ما رسخ في قلبه من قبل من آفة الرياء. And if such a thing happens, then he remembers what he have learnt in about the calamities of riya. That has to come to mind. وَتَعَرُّضِهِ لِمَقْتِ اللَّهِ. And that he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah on the day of judgment, في القيامتي. وَخَيْبَتِهِ فِي أَحْوَجِ أَوْقَتِهِ إِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِ. And that his disappointment is potential disappointment at the time when he will most need it. As we said, one good deed to tip the scale on the other side. So he should remember that at that point. So وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ آفَةَ الرِّيَاءِ. So he's saying, كَمَا أَنَّ مَعْرِفَتِ الْإِطِّلَاعِ النَّاسِ تُصِيرُ شَهْوَةً وَرَغْبَةً فِي الرِّيَاءِ. He said, in the same way that the knowledge of people noticing you cascades, it inspires, it provokes an inclination towards riya. Likewise, فَمَعْرِفَةُ آفَةِ الرِّيَا تُصِيرُ كَرَاهَةً تُقَابِلُ تِلْكَ الشَّهْوَةِ. That the knowledge, bringing to mind the knowledge of the evils of riya, will also provoke an aversion. It will provoke a dislike. So an aversion in your mind, saying that, look, this thing is terrible. That will confront it. It will cancel it. It will cancel the other cascade. So you got these two streams of cascading in the mind through simulations, and one will cancel the other, but there's a catch. إذا يتفكر في تعرضه لمقت الله ويقابه. If he thinks about that he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah, ويقابه الأليم, that Allah may punish him, والشهوة تدعو إلى القبول, and the desire is calling him towards accepting it, والكراهة تدعو إلى الإباء, and the dislike is provoking him towards rejection, والنفس تطاوع, and he said then the nafs, yourself, the mind, the heart will follow, لا محالة, he said inevitably they will follow, أقواهما وأغلبهما, that the one which is of these two streams in the mind, the heart will follow the one that is stronger, which is more intense. فإذن لابد في الرد الرياء من ثلاثة أمور. So therefore, in the repelling of riya, when it comes in, when you find yourself in this trap, is that you should, that there are three things that you have to pay attention to. لابد, it has to have three things that has to come, one of the other. The first is المعرفة, and what معرفة? معرفة of the, that this is riya, this is nothing else but riya. And the second is that karaha, which is the dislike, the aversion to it because of the severe evils that you know about it, and then iba'a. So al-ma'rifa wal-karaha wal-iba'a, which is the acknowledging it, disliking it, and rejecting it. Those are the three that has to happen. Now, he's explaining now the situation. He says, وَقَدْ يَشْرَعُ الْعَبْدُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ عَلَى عَزْمِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. So the person may start a deed, a good deed, with full conviction to do it with ikhlas, ثم يرد خاطر الرياء فيقبله. But then in his heart, a thought of riya will come and he accepts it. He doesn't treat it with the rejection that it requires or the dislike. فلا تحضر المعرفة ولا الكراهة التي كان الضمير منتويا عليها وإنما سبب ذلك امتلاء القلب بخوف الدم وحب الحمد. That the person may, لا تحضر, the knowledge, he knows lots about the problems of riya, but the dislike does not appear in his heart because his heart has become filled, his consciousness have become occupied, has become filled بخوف الدم وحب الحمد, either with the fear of criticism from people or the love of praise, that one of these or both, that you person, وَإِسْتِلَّا الْحِرْصَ عَلَيْهِ. And then what happens is that greed, this yearning to be recognized, become dominant in the heart. So it starts off with just this one khatir, with one thought in the mind, and then it cascades towards this. So he's saying, إِسْتِلَّا الْحِرْصَ بِحَيْثُ لَا يَبْقَى فِي الْقَلْبِ مُتَّسِعًا لغيره. And so what happens is that the entire consciousness become filled, so occupied, that there's no space for any other thought. فتعذب عن القلب معرفة المعرفة السابقة بآفات الرياء وشؤم عاقبته. So what it does is that it creates a distance in the heart of all the previous knowledge that this person had about the evils of riya and the severe consequences that are attached to it. إذ لم يبقى موضع في القلب خال عن شهوة الحمد أو خوف الدم. Because there is no place left in the heart. Your entire consciousness is now occupied. Once it moves into the realm where the emotions are running, then the heart becomes completely overwhelmed. It takes, so there's no space in there for you to put to bring the old information back. It's all shut off. And he gives a beautiful example of it, because we're not usually conscious of this when it's happening with Riyah, but this example shows how it works. He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَالَّذِي يُحَدِّثُ نَفْسَهُ بِالْحِلْمِ. He said, this is like a person who is very good at, he's made convictions to be composed, and the benefits of composure, min asbab min al asbab min al ghadabi wa dam al ghadabi, and the blameworthiness of anger. A person who doesn't like anger and who is very keen to be composed at all times. ويعظم على التحلم عند جريان سبب الغضب. And he has a firm determination in his mind, because he knows what terrible thing anger is, and he has a firm determination in his mind that, look, I will be composed, I will have him, I'll have full composure at any suggestion of anger, at any point of anger that comes into me. ثم يجري من الأسباب ما يشتد به غضبه. But then he finds himself in a situation where his anger flares up. فينسى سابق عزمه. But then what happens? Once his anger has progressed into the level of emotion and it's taken over, then he forgets all of those discussions about hilm, of discussions about being composed and restraint and all the other things that he would have done. فينسى سابق عزمه. He forgets everything. ويمتلئ قلبه غيظا. And his entire heart, all his consciousness now is full with anger. وتدفع نور المعرفة مثل مرارة الغضب. تذكر آفة الغضب. And then, so it prevents him from bringing to mind the evils, the consequences of anger. فكذلك حلاوة الشهوة. And so, it's similarly that the sweetness of desire also can fill the heart. وتدفع نور المعرفة مثل مرارة الغضب. So the sweetness of the desire can also fill the heart and extinguish and remove the light of guidance, the light of knowledge in it, exactly as the bitterness of anger does. The bitterness of anger are the مرارة الغضب وحلاوة الشهوة, both of them. The bitterness of anger does the same thing exactly as the sweetness of desire. Both do the same thing. وَإِلَيْهِ أَشَارَ جَابِرٌ بِقَوْلِهِ بَايَعْنَا. And then he gives the example of the Sahaba. In fear or in anger, you forget things. And he gives the example of the, how we do for time? Okay. About the battle of Hunayn, where initially the Sahaba, some of them got afraid and they forgot. They forgot that they had taken an oath to defend, to be with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to support the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to defend the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to be there and to stick with him. And because of the fear, it took over them. But then when people say, yeah, when they were reminded, when they were told, ya ashab al-shajarati, oh, the people of the tree, in other words, the people who took the oath under the tree, then they returned. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْقَلْبِ امْتَلَعَتْ بِالْخَوْفِ فَنَسِيَتْهُمْ فَنَسِيَتِ الْعَهْدَ السَّابِقِ. So he said that they forgot the oath that they had take. حَتَّى ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When you're reminded of it, so you can be reminded of it by someone else, and then it pushes it away. وَأَكْثَرُ الشَّهْوَاتِ الَّتِي تَهْجُمُ فَجْعَةً هَكَذَا تَكُونَ. And the most of the desires that come suddenly does this to you. Is تُنْسِي مَعْرِفَةِ مَضَرَّةِ الدَّاخِلَةِ فِي عِقْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. What it does is it makes you forget your guidance that you have. If you forget the guidance that you have, the knowledge that you have about these things, then the dislike for the consequences will not appear. فَإِنَّ الْكَرَاهَةَ تُثْمِرُ الْمَعْرِفَةَ. The dislike is تُثْمِرُ. فَإِنَّ الْكَرَاهَةَ ثَمْرَةُ الْمَعْرِفَةَ. That the dislike, it comes as a result of the knowledge that you have about something. So going into all of these details that we are doing, we are talking about how bad it is, how bad Riya is, how difficult it is, what level of the consequences they are. All of this are in order to assist you in creating karaha, in creating aversion, dislike for it. So that you'll be able to provoke that dislike at the time when it's needed. Okay. وَقَدْ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ فيعلم أن الخاطر الذي خطر له هو خاطر الرياء. And he's describing here now a situation where sometimes a person may recognize that it is that the thought that he's just had is a thought of riya. It's a thought of showing off. الذي يعوضه سخط الله الذي يعرضه بسخط الله. That is then exposing him to the anger of Allah. ولكن يستمر عليه لشدة شهوته. But he continues because there is an intense desire in his mind to show. Something comes heavy. As we are saying, you know, which one is bigger? فيغلب هواه عقله, and then his desire then overpowers his mind. ولا يقدر على ترك لذة الحال على ترك لذة الحال, and he is unable to leave it to avoid it, to avoid this joy of that situation in which he is. فيصوف بالتوبة. So then he says to himself, okay, well, I will deal with it through tawbah. I will do istighfar. And the tragedy with this is that you have no control over when you will die, whether you will live to the next moment and miss tawbah and be able and have an opportunity to do istighfar. So when something bad is happening, you should not ever do this. And he's saying that we fall into this trap, even ulama. أو يتجاهل عن التفكر في ذلك لشدة شهوته. He continues to dabble in this until because he feels that it's important. Because of the intensity of the desire. And he's giving example of عالم. He said, فكم من عالم يحضره كلام لا يدعوه إلى النطق به إلا رياء الخالق. He said, how many ulama that words come in their mouth, they say things, and the only reason they're saying it is to impress people, is riya, to show people how the their expertise. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ ذَلِكَ, and he knows that, they know it. ولكن, and this is ulama, he said, وَلَكِنَّهُ يَسْتَمِرُّ عَلَيْهِ, but he continues to do it, فَتَكُونَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْكَدْ, and he does it, and then the proof against him is even stronger. إِذْ قَبِلَ دَاعِيَ الرِّيَا مَعَ عِلْمِهِ بِغَائِلَتِهِ وَكَوْنِهِ مَذْمُومًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And he says he accepts it because it becomes a double problem for one who recognizes that this is a problem, that this is an that he recognizes that this is a problem, but he continues with it because so then that becomes a proof against him. وَلَا تَنْفَعُهُ مَعْرِفَتُهُ إِذَا خَلَتِ الْمَعْرِفَةُ عَنِ الْكَرَاهَةِ. So if your knowledge of something does not associate with dislike for it, then this will happen. And this is an alim, Imam Ghazali, alim of the highest caliber, is speaking about ulama. It's important here to recognize that this, yes, this can happen, but it's not for us to go around pointing fingers at ulama. He is an alim and he can speak about ulama, but we should not fall into a trap of thinking that we can go around pointing to the people. This is between people and Allah. وَقَدْ تَحْضُرُ الْمَعْرِفَ وَالْكَرَاهَةَ, that both can come, the knowledge and the dislike can be. ولكن مع ذلك يقبل الداعي الرياء يعمل به لكون الكراهية ضعيفا لكون الكراهة الكراهة لكون الكراهة ضعيفا. That if you have a dislike, if the dislike of it, if the كراهة, the dislike is weak, then the desire will overpower it. فإذا لا فائدة إلا في اجتماع الثلاث. So then there, in conclusion, he's saying that there is no benefit here except if you have all three. So you have to have here al-ma'rifa wal-karaha wal-ibaha, that you should have the acknowledgement of it, the dislike of it, and the rejection of it. They have to happen. فَالْإِبَاءَةُ ثَمْرَةُ الْكَرَاهَةُ, so the rejection is the fruit of the dislike. وَالْكَرَاهَةُ ثَمْرَةُ الْمَعْرِفَةُ, and the dislike is the fruit of the acknowledgement of it, of seeing, of recognizing it. وقوة المعرفة بحسب قوة الإيمان ونور العلم, and the extent, the power of your معرفة, the power of your knowledge of it, the power of recognition will be on the basis of the strength of your إيمان and the light of your knowledge. وضعف معرفة بحسب غفلتك بحسب الغفلة, and the weakness in it will be in accordance with your level of غفلة, which is absent-mindedness or neglect. وحب الدنيا and love of the world, ونسيان الآخرة and forgetting about آخرة, وقلة التفكر فيما عند الله, and the poverty of, or the the dearth of thinking what Allah has, and وقلت التأمل, and the shortage of pondering في آفة الحياة, and the آفات الحياة وعظم نعيم الآخرة, to the shortage of pondering. We spend very little time pondering on the difficulties, on the tragedies that are associated with going after the dunya, and the greatness of the akhirah, how insignificant the world of the na'im, the favors, the bounties of this world compared to the akhirah. We're selling something that is insignificant. We are selling the akhirah, which is the dunya. We are trying to acquire the dunya, which is insignificant compared to the akhirah. It is as one drop in an ocean. فهو رأس كل خطيئة. Love of the dunya is the door. It is the basis of all sins. ومنبع كل ذنب, the source through which towards all mistakes happen. لأن حلاوة حب الجاه والمنزلة ونعيم الدنيا هي التي تغمر القلب. So the love, the sweetness of loving of the world and loving of position and loving of the trinkets of this world, this is the thing that floods the heart. تغمر القلب. وتحول بينه وبين التفكر في العاقبة. That this is the thing that comes between, that hinders, it becomes a hindrance between you and the ability to think about consequences. والاستضاءة بنور الكتاب والسنة وأنوار العلوم. And it also comes as a hindrance in stopping you from benefiting from the Quran and the Sunnah and the benefit, the things that are available for you. So he's saying it. Okay, we're out of time. Okay. فإن قلت من صادف بنفسه كراهة الرياء وحملته الكراهة على الإباء. Now, what about a person who finds riya in his heart, but then he manages to deal with it, he pushes it away, his dislike is fine, he rejects it, but ولكن مع ذلك غير خالٍ عن ميل الطبع إلى حبه له ومنازعته. That he finds that, look, there's still some love in his heart for show, he wants to show, but he's managed to reject it. إلا أنه كارهة لحبه وميله. That he knows that this is in his heart, but and he dislikes it. But is such a person, فَهَلْ يَكُونُ فِي زُمْرَةِ الْمُرَائِينَ, that would such a person be also be in the category of the show-offs, المرائين, the person with riya? And he answers this, he says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يُكَلِّفُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَّا مَا يُطِيقُ. That Allah does not give you more than you can manage. وَلَيْسَ فِي طَاقَةِ الْعَبْدِ مَنْعُ الشَّيْطَانِ النَّزْغَاتِهِ. The person, that human beings do not have the ability to stop shaitan from temptations and from suggestions. وَلَا قَمْعُ الطَّبْعَمْ. And we are not here to fight our nature. حَتَّى لَا يَمِيلَ إِلَى الشَّهَوَاتِ وَلَا يَنْزَعَ عَنْهَا. That we are not here to go against nature and that we can destroy the desires completely. وَإِنَّمَا غَايَتُهُ أَنْ يُقَابِلُ الشَّهْوَةَ أَنْ يُقَابِلَ شَهْوَتَهُ بِكَرَاهَةٍ. It's the point here, the effort, what is intended here is that you have to face, whenever something comes in your heart that is pulling you in the direction of riya, that you have to challenge it with an aversion, with a dislike in your heart, based on your knowledge of the consequences of these things. And that's what's necessary. And then, right. One last thing. In conclusion, he says, وَسْوَسَةُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَمُنَازَعَةُ النَّفْسِ لَا تَضُرُّكَ مَهْمَا رَدَدْتَ مُرَادَهُمَا بِالْإِبَاءَةِ وَالْكَرَاهَةِ. That the waswasa, the whisperings and the suggestions of shaitan, the temptations of shaitan, and the inclinations of the nafs, the inclinations of the desire, will not harm you as long as you set yourself, as you are able to repel these things, these radatta muradahuma, you've repelled their motivations or the cascade, stopping the cascade, bil ibaati wal karahati, with rejection and aversion, with rejection and dislike for it. Wal khawatir allati hiya min al-ulumi wa at-tadhakkurati wa at-takhayyulat, والتخيلات لأسباب المهيجة لأسباب المهيجة للرياء هي من الشيطان. And the thoughts that are of information, thoughts, these thoughts on the mind that are of these thoughts that come in the form of knowledge, of information, of تذكرات, of memory, of تخيلات, of simulations and images in your mind, all of this, these are all means through which shaitan uses, these are means that shaitan uses to inspire, to instigate in you riya. وَالرَّغْبَةُ وَالْمَيْلِ بَعْدَ تِلْكَ الْخَوَاطِرِ مِنَ النَّفْسِ. But the inclination and all the other aspects that follow are from your nafs. وَالْكَرَاهَةُ and to, so if you have an inclination towards these things, then that's you. That is your, so if you cut it off there before it can develop into karaha, then, and the way to cut it off is this ragba, this intention, this inclination, the way to cut off the inclination is to meet it with karaha, is to meet it with aversion, with dislike. So he said, well, karahatu min al iman. So the simulations and the memories and the information is from shaitan for riya, and he said the dislike is from iman, min athar al aql, which comes through a pondering and willful thinking against it. This is how you will develop. Is to spend your time not being pulled in the direction and allow it to flow and allow the cascades to go through. Okay, I think that's enough for tonight. Inshallah, we will continue next week. So, to come back now to what I said in the beginning about moments with Allah. And the stronger and deeper these moments are, is the better you will be equipped to deal with these mental traps of shaitan. And for this, I want you to keep these three reported statements from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your mind. The first is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتِ فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا لَعَلَّهُ مَنْ يُصِيبُكُمْ نَفْحَةً مِنْهَا فَلَا تَشْكُونَ بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. For your Lord are days in your time, that days are moments in your time, are blissful moments. So engross yourself in them. These blissful moments, nafhat, these are moments of mercy. So you may find one, that one moment, and then that could become your source of salvation for the rest of your life. You need to cherish these moments of dua, moments of dhikr, moments of praying at night. And apart from this, the special affordances that Allah give you, we have from time to time, every day, you can, whenever you find your heart focusing on Allah, these are special moments that should be cherished. But then there are other special moments that we know about, like dua of on the day of Arafah, dua Laylatul Qadr, dua in the last moment, the last third of the night, and dua of Yawmul Jum'ah, dua of in sujood, dua when traveling. So to keep all of these, and whenever you are given to know that there are moments that come where Allah will give you, Allah, it's possible that you may, that moment that you might think is insignificant, if it comes with sincerity, then that is something to value, to give, to cherish. The second hadith relates to the recognizing that angels and shaitans both have moments in which they affect you through subtle influencing. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِلشَّيْطَانِ لَمَّةً بِبْنِ آدَمْ وَلِلْمَلَكِ لَمَّةً. That shaitan has an effect on you, and وَلِلْمَلَكِ and the angel also has an influence. Both has an influence. فَأَمَّا لَمَّةُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَعِذَا إِعَادٌ بِالشَّرِّ وَتَكْذِيبٌ بِالْحَقِّ. He comes and gives you, promises you with evil words, guide you to evil and cause you to reject stuff. أَمَّا لَمَّةُ to reject the truth. وَأَمَّا لَمَّةُ الْمَلِكِ, the influence that comes from the angel is إِعَادٌ بِالْخَيْرِ, the promise of good, وَتَصْدِيقٌ بِالْحَقِّ, and confirmation of the truth. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ ذَلِكَ فَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. So if you find that you are having good thoughts and things are coming in your mind to be good, to do good, to seek to do things with sincerity, then you should know It is from Allah. فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ And he should thank Allah. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ الْأُخْرَى فَلْيَتَعَوَّدِ And the one who finds the other, the one that calls you to do bad things, that calls you to show, calls you to do all these things, then فَلْيَتَعَوَّدِ Then he should seek protection in Allah from shaitan. He should say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Because shaitan يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ He scares you, he warns you of poverty, and he orders you to do unseemly things. So the third hadith is, لَا تَدْعُوا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ That do not make bad dua. Do not curse, do not call for the curses on yourself or on your children. Because, and the reason he's saying, وَلَا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ وَلَا تَدْعُوا لَا تُوَافِقُوا مِنْ اللَّهِ سَعَةً يُسْأَلُ فِيهَا عَطَاءً فَيَسْتَجِيبَ لَكُمْ Because it may be, in 24 hours every day, there are periods when Allah accepts dua. These are moments of acceptance. سَاعَةُ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ These are moments of when Allah accepts your dua, and you don't want to regret making a dua that then Allah accepts, and then tragedy comes. So these hadiths, that all three of them are to remind you that these moments you should seek, and when they happen, cherish them and value them, and seek to increase their frequency. Standing at night in prayer, dhikr, dua. Dua is a powerful thing. Inshallah, we'll talk more about dua. Now let us pray. Inshallah, the time is up. Okay. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبو لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا الله أو الله forgive us أو الله accept us and protect us from the traps of shaitan أو الله strengthen us strengthening us the aversion to riya أو الله strengthen our hearts and give us the power to repel it أو الله give us ibaa give us rejection of this of this tragedy that can destroy our actions. Oh Allah, bless us and help us. Help us. We have no other one to turn to. You are our Lord. Ya Allah, we are your creatures and we have no other to turn to. Oh Allah, help us and open us. Open the path towards eternal bliss. Oh Allah. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك. ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من أعادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمسلمات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها يا ربي يا كريم اللهم وفرج هم المهمومين ونفس كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم ربنا لا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصل اللهم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين آمين يا رب يا كريم طيب الحمد لله the brothers in the room who is managing that today in the class do we know
I'm managing it
so. Oh you're managing the class okay All right. We've gone over the time. I was hoping that I could talk to you a bit more about the brain and those experiments. But inshallah, another time, because it's interesting for several reasons, because we're going to go back to that later on in the course. But yeah, inshallah, if you put together your questions, and we will deal with them later on. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.